Welcome to Matriarchal Medicine, a sanctuary designed to inspire women on their journey to matriarchy by reconnecting them with their intuition and innate wisdom. Join us as we explore the stories, wisdom, and medicine of women who are claiming this sacred and holy role. In each episode, we'll uncover transformative insights and practical tools to help you create the life you desire. Through inspiring interviews and meaningful conversations, Matriarchal Medicine invites you to step into your innate leadership potential and create a legacy of love, wisdom, and resilience. I'm your host, Audrey Thorpe, and in today's episode, I'm joined by Kelly Love. Kelly is a practitioner and an educator of psychosomatic therapy. In this episode, we discuss how the body is communicating the soul's expression. This brief introduction also provides an opportunity for listener discretion to be used, as Kelly briefly references how her past experience of being raped as an infant contributed to her hip replacement she had in her 30s. We discuss holding compassion for ourselves, the men in our lives, and how at the root of it all, our body's expression is all love. Let's dive in.
You are the first official guest on the podcast. So
I am. I didn't realize that.
You are. Yes. So welcome.
Wow. That's great. And I'm like in this stage of new beginnings. So new beginning for you, new beginning for me. Let's start together.
Let's go. Why don't we start with a little bit of your background, a little bit of the modality that you work in, and how that shows up for you today and with the people that you work with? Because I know you don't exclusively work with women. You work with men, women. Let's just start from there.
Yeah, so I have a very interesting, I struggle to call it a modality because it's more than a modality. I teach a language, and this language is actually an ability to connect with the soul directly and cultivate our intuition and figure out what our purpose here is for this life. So I work with humans. I work with individuals that are ready to figure this type of deep stuff out. And I really got into this work because I've had a very spiritual connection my whole life. I was raised in the church, and there were some things that never fully settled with me in the church. And so I went on a lot of discovery. And in that, I experimented with different belief systems, different lifestyles. And a lot of it, I beat myself up for it. I had this ideal of who I should be. And yet there were very few individuals on my path that taught me about the ups and downs of getting to that vision that we hold for ourselves. So I got into this work because I was at the low of the low, and all my relationships were falling apart. And I was lamenting to a friend one day, and she said, "You're the common denominator, Kelly." And I'm like, F you.
I was going to say, ow. Like, ow.
And at the same time, she was right.
Thank you. Yes.
Because I looked at my life and I was like, I am the common denominator. I do look at other individuals' lives and I am inspired by them. I see other people are living other realities. Why am I not living that reality? And that began the journey of my deeper inner work and also coming to this place of my body being broken, quite literally. I had to get a hip replacement at, I think it was 37 or 38 years old, which is fairly young.
Yeah, incredibly young.
And I remember I had actually had an orthoscopic surgery on the same hip 7 years prior. And this was when I was still in my fanatical Christian stage. So I was very disconnected from my body still. I hadn't done really any healing work. And when I went and had that surgery done, I asked the guy what happened. And he said, "Well, at some point you received an impact on your leg, which compromised the blood supply to your hip, which killed your leg bone. Like it killed the top of the leg bone. So they had tried to fix the labrum to try to make it stay or to extend the life of my hip. However, that blood supply never got fixed because I never realigned my body, right? I was so out of touch with my body. And I remember asking myself at that time, how did I get this injury? And my soul said that it was from being raped as a baby. And I was just like, I don't fully comprehend this. I hadn't really done any healing work, so I didn't understand it. But then when it came to getting my hip replacement, that's when I got introduced into this work. And I started looking at the stories that were held in all the various parts of my body where I was injured, and started to make sense of things. Like, this was the first thing that understood me. And so I began the journey of learning the language. And in learning this language, I had also, my body came to a complete stop. I had to learn how to stand, how to walk, how to work out, everything all over again. And in that slowing down, I got to listen to every story that had misshaped my body. I even want to say deform, because it did deform my body. Trauma deforms us.
Yeah.
And so all the ways that it had deformed me, I faced those, rewrote those programs, rewrote those stories, and re-strengthened my body. I mean, who I am today, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, is so much stronger than before I had my surgery. And most people, I would say, can decline after a surgery because they don't fix the root cause.
Yeah.
And so they are compounding a recovery on injury. Well, and so,
if I can add, I think that's, again, as I've said, like throughout all of my work, bless modern medicine, it is there for a reason. And I feel like what you just said is so relevant with everyone who views, and I'm not saying that you viewed surgery as a quick fix, but I'm saying, like we had the conversation during one of your face reading trainings on plastic surgery and fillers and all of this. And it's like, again, if even back to my lived experience of having a breast reduction at 12, I didn't fix the root cause. I didn't go back to that. And so now I am very still, you know, bountifully overflowing in the chest area because I haven't addressed those things. So I love that you bring awareness to that of, yes, we can still utilize modern medicine and surgery and all of those things. But if we don't take our sovereignty over, or not just sovereignty, but autonomy over our life choices, that's exactly what we see, is people do go into that decline after, because they just view it as a quick fix.
Or they're just unaware of what a cause is. And so they fix that, right?
Yeah.
They have doctors and whoever telling them, yeah, do this surgery. And, you know, they're telling me, maybe I'll have 35 years with this hip. I am determined to have longer because I completely shifted how I use my body, and I became aware of the unhealthy patterns causing all this stuff. And there's something to know. I did have that surgery 7 years prior, and I probably could have waited it out longer had I been aware of my whole left side of my body was dissociated, but I wasn't, right? So I spent another 7 years walking with the left side of my body dissociated, landing my leg, all this weight on a dissociated body. Yeah, that's going to tear a hip up.
So for those who don't know, can you go into like the different energies that are held in the left side of the body and why that would have manifested specifically on the left side of your body?
Great question. Yes. So in sacred body mind language, the left side is always connected to the feminine energy flow and our right brain function. It's kind of confusing. And then the right side of the body is connected to the masculine energy, and this is the left brain function. And so for me, the whole left side of my body from my ankle had actually started the dissociation, which means from, and in body language, we understand the ankle to be like the formative year, 0 to 3. So from 0 to 3, my body was communicating there was some sort of trauma that happened that destabilized you, yanked that foundation out from under you. You weren't sure how to now step out into the world. And that was at a young age, right? So imagine having that loose ankle. I popped that ankle out many times. And then having muscles dissociated, landing on a loose ankle. I mean, I used to be double jointed in my hips. And hips are connected to sacral energy mostly. There's some root chakra energy in there as well. But that's all, for me, understanding what happened to me, that was all sexual trauma.
Yeah.
And for the viewers who are listening, this is a trigger warning. I was raped as a baby by my parents. So yeah, the very foundation that I was trying to stand on was ripped out from under me. And it didn't feel safe to be a woman. And every time I was sensitive and would speak up about the things that hurt, I got hurt more. And so when we live in these patterns of fight and flight and freeze, of course the feminine energy, of course the intuition and the feeling are going to dissociate, because to feel all of that would be to live the reality of a horror film. And so as a child, we modify that, we make excuses, we live in cognitive dissonance to convince ourselves that we're safe enough now to survive. And our body does that so that when we are safe enough, we can address them. We can address these issues. And that's what I got to do as a spiritual adult.
I love how you just framed that, because again, I go back to the body is always for you. It's always for us. It's always there with the intention and with the underlying being is just looking for thriving life. And it's there with beautiful mechanisms put in place to hold us at each point of our journey. And like you just said, until you were able to consciously come back to it. I just love how you framed that. I totally butchered what you just said, but that just,
no, that was beautiful.
Beautifully. Like that just, that spoke so, just so much reverence for the bodies that we choose to be in. Yeah.
Yeah. And I liken body language to being God's love story, or being the creator's love story being written in real time. And how beautiful it is that innately inside of us, we have this communication that not only manifests in thoughts and feelings, but how we are physically shaped. We can look at how we are physically shaped and see the impression that our life is making on our soul and choose from there consciously how we want to realign. Right? I could have beat my body up for breaking down at me at 38. Yeah. Or I could just be like, okay, this happened to me. How do I make it the best that it can be now? And in doing so, I came out stronger than before. Not only stronger than before, because I healed myself, I was able to develop an entire program that shows people how to work with complex trauma, like incest, multiple sexual assaults, death of a loved one, surgeries, growing up with narcissistic parents, enmeshment. I mean, there's just like a plethora of awareness now that I took the time to be present with myself. And that's the love language being spoken through us. Hey, this doesn't feel good. Can we look at this? Can you love this into wholeness?
And I think like looking at the before and after pictures that like, cause you did a beautiful job documenting like the beginning of your journey all the way through, like, you know, your course development to where you are today. And just seeing, like, you know, it's one thing to like talk about it. And like we've talked about this previously about the lack of embodiment with all of our work, and how when it's truly embodied, you can see it plain as day. And that's one thing that I really appreciate is how you documented and shown pictures of your body and how it has shifted. And it truly looks so much stronger, so much more confident, just from doing this healing work through, you know, this, like you said, it's not a modality. It really is a completely way of living. And just, it's night and day difference, seeing how your posture is, your shoulders, your muscle tone. Like, it's just a beautiful love letter to yourself and how you've completely rewritten it.
Thank you. I want to take that in for a moment, because that feels really good to be acknowledged, and for you specifically to see that transformation, because it really was a transformation. And you're right, it is one thing to be a talking head, and we see that a lot in the spiritual communities. People show this shiny end product, and we don't really see what happened along the way or what got them there. And for me, especially in this healing world, man, woman.
Yep.
We really got to be careful who we're entrusting our healing to. Because there's a lot of spiritual charlatans out there, and they show you the shiny end product that you're going for, but how did they get there? And are they willing to be vulnerable about all the messy ways and all the messy mistakes, missteps that they took to get to this shiny end product, right? And that's sort of what we want to talk about today, was this compassion for the journey. Because even though what you see now is this beautiful end product of being aligned and muscular and confident and on purpose and in mission in my life, that's what we all desire, right? It took a lot to get here. And
was not overnight, was not all love and light. It was so a dark night of the soul. Like, come to Jesus. Like,
yes, many come to Jesus moments, many death and rebirths. Many moments of confusion, asking myself, what the fuck am I doing? Did I make the right choice? I am not even sure where I'm going. What's my next step going to be? I just completed this 2-week training, and I won't go into too much detail about it, but a lot happened in that training. And towards the end of it, every day I would wake up and ask myself, what am I going to do? How am I going to be today? How am I stepping into this container? What is the highest vision I can hold for myself? The highest level of integrity in this moment. And sometimes it's like that, where we don't have the answer. I would literally walk into that classroom and be sitting while everyone is talking, being fully aware I'm coming up soon, and I still have no idea what I'm going to say and what I'm going to do. And sometimes it's like just in that moment, trusting that the best will come through. And if it doesn't, you get a redo. You get another chance.
And
even in this journey of like where I am right now, I mean, I came from like a fanatical Christian cult. Okay. 30 plus years of being in this cult. And I'm talking studying daily, taking multiple classes per week, signing up for a Master's of Divinity, missions trips, working with at-risk youth, running summer camps for abused children. Like, y'all, I got a resume so long just for the church, okay? I was in it. And then leaving the church, you know, being in the church and never really feeling like I should be submitting to a man. Like, what is it about a man that inspires me to want to submit when I feel like I'm more in touch and more intuitive and my vision is higher? And I'm not saying this is for every man, right? I'm not trying to say I'm better than. It's just there wasn't a model that I felt aligned with me. You're asking me to submit to men, but why?
Well, and you and I have briefly touched on this, like back and forth with like social media conversations. And I think, number one, like there's so much that I can talk to with like the submit to a man rhetoric. But I think what it ultimately, like the issue that I ran into is, because I grew up with the same thing, you know, get married, you know, submit to your husband, wives submit to your husbands. And we are all, specifically men, I find, are all so uninitiated, and we have so much uninitiated adults, myself included, for the longest time, walking around pretending to play house, even after being married, you know, pretend like we know what we're doing. And that's one of the beautiful things that I love about being a woman, is we have our rites of passages embedded in our physiology.
Yes.
Not saying that, you know, there's not so many other initiations that we can experience, but I feel like I came online when I gave birth to my children. I came online when I had my first daughter. I came online with my, you know, my second baby and that loss. And I came, you know, to this, like, kind of this level up with, like, my most recent pregnancy and birth with my son. And those are beautiful opportunities that women have built into our physiology. Men don't have that.
Right.
They don't have that. And when we have generation, I'm going off on a tangent now, and I'll wrap it up in a minute. But when we have men and the grandfathers and the great grandfathers who are all uninitiated in themselves and in their own rights, who's teaching the next generation of men? And you want me to submit to a Xbox playing, stay up until 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, having no responsibilities, no financial, you know, goals or dreams. And I say finances, if how this relationship is supposed to be set up is I'm supposed to be a trad wife, stay at home mommy who just, you know, takes care of the home while he goes out and provides. And I'm supposed to submit to him, but he has no finances to do that, you know? So it's like, it's a system set up to essentially destroy the family unit. We're not initiating the men, but the men are responsible and the women are supposed to submit to that. Sorry, that was my big anger middle finger at that whole thing.
I love it. And I, what's interesting is what I came to realize in the body language and why the church rhetoric never sat well with me is because even within the body, it's, oh my gosh, we just had an earthquake. Sorry. This is important. Literally had an earthquake right now.
Oh my gosh. For those of you listening, Kelly's in Costa Rica.
Yes, we're in different parts of the world. So what I came to understand through the body language is it is not even the feminine energy within the body that submits to the masculine. It's the feminine energy that informs the masculine energy. So when we study the energetic flow.
Hold on. Say that again. Say that again.
All right. And then I'm going to explain what that means. So within the energetic flow within the body, it is the feminine energetic flow within the body that informs the mind, the ego, of who it is. And so what we understand in body-mind language is that emotions are energy in motion. And our energy in motion is what shapes us. So our emotions respond to our environment, to relationships that we have, to how we're feeling on the inside, right? And all of these emotions cause chemical reactions and certain processes to take place inside of us. And 90% of the communication that goes on in the body mind is the body informing the mind. Your mind, your ego, and you actually have more than one brain. So we'll talk about the mind inside of your head. So 90% of the communication from the entire body is going to the mind inside of your head. So at the end of the day, the mind is actually the subconscious programming of the lived experiences. And so if you have been misshaped by the world, if you've experienced traumas, all of these things affect your energetic flow, which means who you think you are in this misshapen state isn't really who you are. And to understand who you are is to slow down and listen to the flow of energy. Where is it flowing? Where is it not flowing? Why is it not flowing there? What's the story and the trauma being held there? See, this is the feminine way. The feminine doesn't just throw the baby out when the baby starts crying. There's this exploring. It's either hungry, got to poop or pee, it's got a dirty diaper, maybe it's colicky, it needs some love, or it's tired, right? There's very few things that a baby needs. And it's the same with our body, right? Our body is very primal in how it communicates. And so when we can slow down and listen to this feminine flow, it informs our mind of who we really are. And then we're able to realign to that. So this is why the feminine really is the bedrock of society. And why are we going here on compassion? I'm not sure, but I'm loving where this is flowing.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because even with our anatomy, the brain receives its message. Everyone thinks that the brain is the boss and the brain controls everything, and the brain receives its signals from the heart. Right. The brain checks in with the heart. What are we doing? Yeah, I know this is a really good idea, but what are we doing? Oh, right. And then the heart gives back the biofeedback of, oh, this is what we're doing. This is how things should go. And the brain can question it, and the brain can be like, ah, you sure? And the heart, again, it goes back to the heart for the answers. And that's just so interesting that, again, how our bodies are just so intricately and innately beautifully designed.
And what's interesting for me is, if you want to hold the Christian worldview, you can't believe in the body, right? If the Christian world, and I'll explain what I mean by that. The Christian worldview says we are made in the image of God. If we are made to reflect God and God's character, and how I am flowing is the reflection of God, well, then why would God say men are in charge? Why would God put a part of humankind in charge that is naturally not as in touch with the heart and soul of humanity? That is ass backwards. Can we just call it for what it is?
Well, even like before Christianity came online, the shamans were women. The religious leaders were women. You know what I mean? Like the spiritual leaders of the tribes, of the communities were women. And the men were there to, you know, protect, to hold. And they were, again, just like what I was just saying with the brain and the heart, the men were there to act. The men were there to protect, but only after consulting with the women, the wise women, the wise elders.
Right. And think about it too. I mean, their first teacher was a woman. A woman is the first teacher because they teach you how to connect to yourself and connect to the heart and live in community. Like within a woman's body, like you said, we have certain rites of passage. We will understand community because we build it inside of us. We understand that it takes a personal level of sacrifice to invest in something long-term in order to actually see the growth that we're looking for. And these are things that men need to learn to earn, right? It's not innate in them. They're never going to breastfeed a child off of them. They're never going to
No matter what pharmaceuticals they want to take, no matter what, they will never experience that.
So maybe where we can have compassion in this story, because this is a great story that's unfolding right now in humanity, is I see men going through a lot of cognitive dissonance because they've been told that they are something that they are not. And women are also going through a level of cognitive dissonance because they too have been told that they are something that they are not. And women have been told that they are here to, for the most part, support men, that we're too emotional and we can't be trusted and all of this stuff, right? This is what we've been told. When the truth is being a leader isn't about being in front and who's the strongest and who can be the biggest bully on the playground. A leader is about showing the way forward. And the feminine is innately connected to the heart and soul of humanity. And so we're here to show the way forward. And so women, it's an invitation to reclaim who you are, to stop playing small to the men in your life and the women in your life who want to keep you small because they're not ready to rise in their creatorship. And so having compassion on ourselves as we learn as women to stand in our creatorship and to be gracious towards men, right? Because they are expecting women to act like men and destroy them as they have done to women and to the world with their power, right? They must come back to the mother and learn their lessons of connection and love and how to really grow a community before they can be entrusted with that again. And so there is an exchange of power going on. And I don't think the men realize it's happening because we don't do it like them. We're not coming in there and starting a war and putting a knife to their throat and being like, smit, bitch. You know, that ain't our style. That's not the way of the feminine. The feminine says, this is my standard. You're going to meet me here. You won't meet me. Right? And there, I feel like where we get to hold compassion for men is in the temper tantrum. Because they're not going to get their way anymore. And they can't bully their way into leadership positions because women are saying, we aren't submitting to that anymore. Sure, this is a hill I am willing to die on. That's what women are saying now. I'm willing to be single and not have kids because I'm not going to relate at this level anymore. So we will rise or we're both dying on this, right? We're both dying on this hill. So how can we hold compassion for each other as we're going through this transition?
Well, and I think something that gets lost with a lot of, because I know this conversation is coming off very, as I, how I am perceiving this conversation will potentially land, is very man-hating, very, you know, left-wing feminist, like however you want to categorize it, you know, blue hair, you know, how the right.
I do have a shaved head.
I have long hair legs, or my legs are hairy, my armpits are hairy, like, yeah. But that said, you and I both love men. We love men.
Yes.
And something that I think gets so lost in these conversations, and I'm so grateful that I sat in a conversation about this last year that broke open my heart to an even deeper layer of compassion for men. If we want to talk about when Christianity came online and during the witch hunts, like, I mean, this is, you know, a deep core wound that not just women have with the witch wound, with the sister wound, with all of this. I mean, this is deep, deep generational. And I don't use this word loosely, but deep generational and ancestral trauma, specifically for European descendant people. And I'm not taking anything away from African descendant people, because that's a whole other can of worms of trauma. Like, I'm not even getting into that. And this isn't a trauma war of whose trauma is deeper than the other. But I'm saying so many of us forget that European descended people have deep, deep fucking trauma also, because imagine being a father, imagine being a husband, imagine being a son, or I'm getting emotional talking about this, but imagine standing there watching your sister, watching your mother, watching your grandmother being burned at the stake, and how helpless you feel. You can't protect them. You can't save them. And how completely...
And in some cases, they were part of it.
And that, but that's my point, is the ones who were turning them in, like, that's a whole nother thing in itself. But I'm saying the ones that loved these women, the ones that didn't, you know, turn in their spouse or didn't, you know, do those things, but the ones who stood there and couldn't protect them and couldn't save them from the witch burnings. I mean, being a woman with anatomy, with a clitoris, you were considered a witch. Like, come on now. It was all of them. There were some villages that the only ones that were left were little baby girls who couldn't remember what it was to have their mother talk to them and tell them and teach them their ways. So
And then talk about how that affects entire generations not having the influence of a woman, plus the fear of being a woman.
So that's what I'm saying is, like, yes, we know, for those of us who know about the deep, dark side of the origins of Christianity and the origins of the organized religious church or Catholicism, we were so quick to focus on how the divine feminine was wounded, but we as a collective went through that. So that's where my compassion comes in for the men, because they went through it also. This is deep, deep-seated stuff also for them. And when I look at it through that lens of I've been blessed with these rites of passage, with my physiology, with my this, with my that, they have to work twice as hard to go through these initiations, to find the wise elders, to find those. I mean, my husband, he's going to be 35 tomorrow, actually. And he's, you know, like, I need to go on an initiation. Like, I need, at 35, he's looking for an initiation that culturally should have taken place 15, 16 years ago for him.
Right.
20 years ago. Oh my God, 20 years ago for him. And how many initiations could he have gone through during that time? How much trauma could have been saved with our children, with our relationship, had right. he gone through those initiations as teenagers coming into their coming of age initiation?
I'd love to offer my perspective on this dilemma.
Yeah, let's go.
And I have a feeling it's going to cause a lot of uncomfortability for the viewers, and I'm totally here for it. So pull out your nervous system tools.
Deep breaths.
We bounce to spiritually adult. So what's happening in this dynamic is a lack of maturity in the masculine and the feminine. And what's happening is the feminine is maturing faster than the masculine in a lot of ways. And that's because within us, we are, like you said, we are innately connected to these rites of passage, you know, periods, motherhood, menopause, like there's so much, a monthly moon cycle, like there's so much, we have so many initiations, and men don't have that. And so I sort of led to men are going to be going through these temper tantrums right now as the change of guard is happening, the exchange of power. And where we get to hold compassion is in these temper tantrums, right? As mothers, we know when our children are screaming and crying and they really want that toy and they really want that candy bar and they have a meltdown in the store and it's so freaking embarrassing and everybody thinks you're a horrible parent. But you understand your kid can't have that. You've already given them X, Y, and Z. And if they have this and that, then they're going to, right? You've already thought this out. And so women, we've been thinking and feeling this stuff out for a while. These men are going to have their meltdown. They're going to have their temper tantrums. They're still going to want to drink the milk and not buy the cow and, you know, put on a shiny facade and act like they're big and strong, but still be weak and like a little boy on the inside when it comes to their emotional maturity and being able to handle their reflection in their shadow and have a mission in life and stand for it. And so as they are figuring that out, instead of condemning them and shaming them, I see you where you're at, brother. I love you where you're at. Here's some tools, here's some guidance. But still, this is the standard. Keep working. You're doing amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting that you say that because I haven't shared this publicly. But I say my husband has kind of touched a little bit on his stuff. And I reference him because he's coaching men right now through their own stuff. So I feel free to talk about this now. But we were he and I have been married for, it'll be 13 years this year. And 3 years ago, I was about a year postpartum with Atlas, and I've loved this man since I was 7 years old. Like, I always knew he was who I was going to be with. You know, I moved to different countries and still, you know, we found our way back to each other. And 3 years ago, I was like, this is it. Like, I'm done. I can't keep doing this. Like I said, I came online with my daughter's birth. I came online. And that's when I woke up to, oh, this is my standard. this is what I need. And I put up with it and I put up with it and I talked and I bargained and I this and I that. I threw my temper tantrums. I like all the things. And it wasn't until I was like, okay, this is my standard. Get in or get out, because I don't want my daughter, again, having a boy and a girl. I never thought I would, this was never my reality that I expected, or I never envisioned, I should say. But having a little girl and a little boy, I got to look at this through the lens of, I don't want her to end up with someone like you. And I don't want my son being like you.
Wow.
And I was like you just said, I would much rather choose single motherhood. I would much rather do that than continue to show my children that I'm consenting to this behavior. I'm consenting to being in this space just in the name of, oh, let's keep the family together. Oh, two parent household. It's like, you're just further perpetuating the trauma.
Exactly.
And it came to that point where I was like, okay, big boy pants time. I have shown compassion. I have shown love. I have dropped hints. I have, you know, rubbed your nose in, like, here, these are things that you can do. And obviously none of that's worked up to this point. Like, he had a solid 4-5 years at that point of me doing my work. And I was like, I'm done. I'm out. And he and I didn't actually separate. We didn't get divorced or anything like that. But like you talked about previously, you started to withdraw your energy. I can't engage. I can't do this anymore. And in that stillness, in that quiet of us just, you know, coexisting together. I mean, we were still are in a, you know, 40-foot trailer, and there's only so much space you can go. But in that stillness, he finally met himself. And the undoing that came was so the death and the rebirth. And it was so sad. Again, I was just looking back at pictures this week. And again, knowing what I know now after taking your courses, my body was so inflamed. I was so puffy and just so, like, you could see like the bags under my eyes and over my cheeks. And I was so drained on all levels. And it all long story long, just saying that he finally had that opportunity of still, and that took him quitting a job that he had been in for 10 years. No option to disassociate, no option to distract, and just be with himself. And that's the only reason why we're together now, is because he finally rose to the occasion and finally owned his shit, owned the stuff that we were experiencing. I owned my contribution to it as well. Because I'm not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. And I know that I had so much that I also needed to work through. But yeah, just the compassion to witness the temper tantrums and to hold the space for the temper tantrums.
Right.
And the safe container, and I say safe also very loosely, but the safe container, it's okay to feel these big feelings with me here. It's okay to go through all of these big emotions with me here. And without, like you said, the shame and the judgment and all the things that men have been conditioned to feel when they express themselves.
Right. Right. And the compassion for women too is it's going to be so easy for us to want to rescue them and put their band-aids on and coddle them and make them feel good. Right. And women, we must learn that we're created in the fire. I didn't become this strong woman growing in a patch of daisies. Okay. I was that flower growing in a crack on a city sidewalk. Right. The men can handle it, okay? They can handle the breakdown, and they must learn to handle the breakdown if they are really going to be the providers and protectors. Women, we do our men a disservice when we rescue them emotionally, physically, financially. We have to let them struggle. We did it, ladies, we did it. We are strong and we want our men to be strong. So if they can't do what we did, they ain't worth surrendering to, right? You do yourself a disservice when you settle. Raise that bar high. Keep that bar high. And the men are going to love you for it.
The men are going to love you for that.
Man that loves a woman who is able to test him, because it shows that she loves him and she wants to make him better, right? She wants to know that no matter what, I can lean on this man. He's strong. He is tested.
And that was my differentiating point of the men, not the little boys living in adult bodies.
Right.
The embodied men. And I'm not even saying the divine masculine. I'm saying just embodied men. Just men. Yeah.
I realize a lot of my relationships too are just me, in a subtle way, reparenting. Like when a guy wants to come to me with his needy energy and you need to rescue me, no, I'm not going to rescue you. I love you, brother. I see you. Here's some tools. You can come join a program. We can do some hard work together, but I'm not going to coddle you through this. You're going to learn to do this. Or when a friend, like if I have a female friend that wants to use her manipulation to get what she wants instead of actually showing up in integrity. No, sister, I see that. I'm not engaging in that. I love you, but that's not what I agreed on. I think that's why I love body language so much, this body-mind language, because it is so blunt. And at the same time, the core of it is always love. And it comes down to this felt sense, right? This is what the feminine wisdom really is. What is it? Does it feel good? Does it not feel good? Does this feel like it's cultivating life, or does it not feel like it's cultivating life? Do I feel inspired in this situation, or do I feel deflated in this situation? If we can just follow these subtle feelings, we can heal so much quicker, right? I feel like I was going somewhere else with that, but
no, I think where. No, I think that was beautiful. And so what does your compassion practice look like? Like how are you able to embody compassion for, like, again, back to what we were saying, it's one thing to talk about it and love and light and, you know, have compassion for yourself, but really what does that look like for you throughout your compassion practice, as it were?
Like for myself or for someone else, or?
Yeah, I guess for yourself, because again, we as humans are going through such deep transition, especially at this time and age on the planet. And holding the compassion for ourselves as we navigate, you know, the relationships that we navigate, but also like holding compassion for ourselves, for who we were yesterday, and helping us get to tomorrow, what that looks like.
Yes, that's a great way to phrase it. So nature has been my biggest teacher. I didn't have parents that loved me or guided me or taught me. And so I learned from nature. And one of the things that I see with nature, especially trees, I have a thing for trees. Trees just tree all day. Right? They start as this little tiny seed, and it has all this potentiality to become this massive tree that not only provides shade and shelter to all these animals, but fruit. And I mean, it, like the, what trees do to an ecosystem is massive, right? But they start out as a little seed of potentiality. And each stage of this seed's growth into a full-grown tree, sometimes it's going to grow great, sometimes it's not. But do we curse the tree if the tree isn't growing? No, we understand in nature that if a tree is not growing, it's because something's in the soil, or there's not enough of something in the soil, or there's a pest, or there's too much sun, or there's not enough sun, right? We can start to problem shoot and take care of it so that it meets its full potential. And how are we able to do this for ourselves, right? Nobody curses a tree that grows sideways and curves and twists because something fell in its path along the way and it had to learn to grow a different way. We think, wow, look how innovative nature is. It found a way to grow. And how can we look at our lives like that? You know, I used to be so embarrassed about my battle scars and the things that I still see in my body that aren't fully aligned. And at the same time, I also see it now as like, that's the truth of where I came from. And now I get to see how to love myself clearly, right? One of the impacts I still see from the life that I lived is a very bony upper chest and small boobs. And as a woman, I mean, part of what makes us feel feminine at times is our curves. That's part of the feminine bliss, is being curvaceous and supporting life. And this is why when we look at pictures of the goddess, she's always voluptuous and pregnant and big-breasted and full thighs and a big butt, right? And so sometimes when I still look at my body and I see the effects of not having enough love, of being deprived of even what I need to survive, it's not even that I didn't get enough love. It's like I was even taken from, like, and seeing the effects of that on my body and being like, all right, yeah, that really was a rough life. And it looks like there's still more I get to fill up. It looks like I still get to love myself even more. And I mean, what a gift that is, because I've done so much loving on myself up until this point. It's just going to keep getting better.
Yeah.
We're a garden. Tend to your garden how you want to see it flourish.
I mean, I don't have anything else to say. That was just like amazing. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
This conversation has been amazing. I deeply, deeply appreciate you as a woman, as an individual, as an educator, as a teacher, just as a colleague, as a friend. I truly, truly cherish you and appreciate you. Yeah, just thank you. Thank you for your wisdom.
I feel the same, Audrey. Mm-hmm. And I love the power that you show up in. And mm-hmm. I've just really enjoyed seeing how you brought your wonderful ideas together.
Oh,
and you've
thank
been planning
you.
Some really big things lately, like the podcast and the program. And now you have another program coming up. I mean,
That was my little segue. Yes. So Kelly, if you've enjoyed this conversation, I'm going to give her the opportunity to share ways that you can work with her through her programs, through her one-on-one coaching, all those different amazing ways that you can follow her. But if you enjoyed this little snippet of Kelly's amazing wisdom and what she has to contribute to just the body-mind communication, Kelly is also penned to be a guest teacher during my upcoming course, The Rooted Woman. I have a link that will be in the show notes that you can click to be notified when registration opens. It will be a beautiful 3-month container where we talk about reconnecting ourselves and truly being rooted in our innate wisdom and remembering our innate wisdom. So Kelly, if you could please share with us how we can find you, how we can work with you in the future. What that looks like.
Thank you. Yeah, so I have several ways that you can connect with me. I do a weekly podcast called Raw Love. I was doing one a while ago called The Great Alignment. And part of this new alignment in my life is this newest podcast called Raw Love. And the essence of this podcast is spiritual adulting. It's talking about the things that we need to talk about and not the things that want to make us just feel good, right? Not so much the fluff, more the nitty gritty, like what we talked about here. And I also am on YouTube and Rumble. I have hundreds of videos on there, educational videos teaching you body language, how to interact with trauma, your emotions. I talk about narcissism, transgenderism. There's so many wonderful topics on there. And if you want to work with me privately, I do a Soul Much Love program. This is for those that are ready to deep dive and deal with the deeper issues and those boulders that just aren't moving. Or you just need to figure out what your mission is, or you're sick of being told that you're just always going to be the woman with daddy issues. Whatever it is, dealing with deep-seated issues. This is my magic sauce, y'all. Soul Much Love is created to guide you through a journey of looking at where trauma gets stored in your body, how it gets stored, and very practical tools to rewrite those stories and to repattern yourself from the inside out, including reshaping your body. So I teach you how to use your body in alignment, which, y'all, this is a workout. It's a work act. No, I'm going to rephrase it. It's a work in. I'm teaching you to work in your power. So it's a whole body, mind, soul, inside out reprogramming experience. These are for deep divers. Don't come if you just want to dip your toes, because this ain't for you. And then I also have my online face reading course. And that takes you through the entire face. You're going to read your face by the end. If you want to get certified in it, we can talk about that afterwards. And then very soon, I'm going to be offering practitioner trainings for becoming a practitioner in psychosomatic therapy. I haven't come up with dates. I'm currently in talks with the college about how to re-image and revamp some things. I'm really excited about that. And so, yeah, I'm focusing more on Soul Much Love, because that's more of the deep trauma work that I want to do. And for those that are healing on a budget, do not let price keep you from reaching out to me, because I also have a self-study program. Every now and then I run a scholarship. You are your greatest investment. So reach out to me and figure out how to make it work. Figure in how to make it work.
Speaking from experience, I have Soul Much Love on my, get to do list. It's on my aspirations for the future for sure. But I have taken a face reading training and twice. Yes. And oh my gosh, the purging that happened, I think I talked about this, the purging that happened from truly seeing myself for the first time. So if you want to dip your toes, if you want to just kind of see what this is all about, start with the face reading training. Kelly, like she said, she has amazing resources to assist in all these ways, but you cannot go in a conversation with me without hearing about face reading training with you.
$200, y'all. It's only $200. It's a ridiculously affordable investment.
I still can't get over the fact that that's all you charge for that. But my takeaway with this is I promote it. I speak about it to professionals, but even just people in general, you view those around you. I look at my children through a completely different lens now that I have this information, because I see their faces completely differently. I see my husband completely differently. I see my clients completely differently. As a practitioner, I took this training because doing my homeopathic consultations, we need to get on a deep soul level for these things. And how often are you going to go your deepest, darkest secrets and all your things in a 2-hour conversation with a stranger? That doesn't happen. Right. So I took this as a tool so I could see what they weren't audibly saying. And it just made me that much better as a prescriber, as a, in my work with women. I am the biggest, poster child for please take this training. I, like I said, I talk about it to everyone. So like I said, if you want to dip your toes in with working with Kelly, the amazing, amazing opportunity for face reading is at your fingertips, and highly, highly recommend. Okay. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for your time. I love you immensely. I appreciate you, and we will talk soon.
That's all for today's episode. So until next time, I